Welcome back to Understanding Hymns for Everyday Life. Daniel Webster Whittle, born in 1840, was named by his father after Daniel Webster, the senator. His Christian mother taught him about God, but he didn't get saved until he was an adult. He married Abigail Hansen the day before he left to serve in the American Civil War. During his service, he lost his right arm, was captured, and taken to a prisoner of war camp. While recovering, he ended up with a New Testament in his possession, which he began to read regularly, and while he came to understand the truth about Christ, he still did not trust him as Savior. The turning point in his life came when he was asked by a hospital worker to pray with a dying prisoner. He had no intention of doing so, but the worker pressed the matter, presuming that he was a Christian because of his consistent Bible reading. He wrote, "I dropped on my knees and held the boy's hand in mine. In a few broken words, I confessed my sins and asked Christ to forgive me. I believe right there that he did forgive me. I then prayed earnestly for the boy. He became quiet and pressed my hand as I prayed and pleaded God's promises. When I arose from my knees, he was dead. A look of peace had come over his troubled face, and I cannot but believe that God, who used him to bring me to the Savior, used me to lead him to trust in Christ's precious blood and find pardon. I hope to meet him in heaven." This moment of receiving Christ transformed his life, but he hadn't yet fully surrendered to God's will for him. Post-war, Whittle took up a role as the treasurer at a watch company, and one day at midnight, as he was in the absolute still quiet of the vault, he recorded, "I gave my life to my Heavenly Father to use as he would." Not long after, he set out on a life of evangelism, during which he wrote something like 137 different hymns. Today, we're looking at one of those songs entitled, "Christ Liveth in Me." Let's start with the chorus. "Christ liveth in me, Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me." If we could just marinate on that concept, it would change our lives. Jesus, in his time on this earth, speaking to God the Father, says, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." God wants to live in us. Paul writes, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." According to the original order, verse 1 says this, "As lives the flower within the seed, as in the cone the tree, so praise the God of truth and grace, his Spirit dwelleth in me." Speaking of Jesus, John writes, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Paul writes to the Galatians, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts." Paul has to write to the Corinthians, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The second verse of the song says, "Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see. But in God's word, the light I found. Now Christ liveth in me. Paul writes to the Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. We were blind, but now we see because of the truth that God has revealed to us. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. His word is our source of truth. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but if you've accepted him as Savior and you've avoided being blinded by Satan, the God of this world, then you have Christ living in you. The third verse says, as rays of light from yonder sun, the flowers of earth set free, so life and light and love came forth from Christ living in me. So there's three things that come forth out of us when Christ lives in us. Life, light, and love. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. We know that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Jesus teaches the disciples, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But interestingly, Jesus also taught them, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not that we bring credit to ourselves by doing what God wants us to do. We glorify the Father. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we see that life and light and love are supposed to come forth of our lives because of our relationship with Christ. And then the fourth verse, with longing all my heart is filled that like him I may be, as on the wondrous thought I dwell, that Christ liveth in me. We understand that God wants to conform us to the image of his Son. Paul wrote to the Philippians, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We're going to be fashioned like him. That doesn't mean we become God or we become equal with God, but there is something about our bodies that is going to be fashioned like him. John wrote, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Knowing that Christ is coming back one day should change our behavior. It should make us look forward to that day where we will be more like Jesus. So let me challenge you. First, I must ask, does Christ live in you? Does his Spirit dwell in you? You can only rightfully say yes if you have trusted Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to save you from your sin. Going to church and being religious does not mean you are God's child and that he lives in you. In fact, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Do you see it? Getting to God is not about what you do for yourself. It's not even about what you do for Him. It's about what He did for you. Would you simply cease trusting yourself and trust Him today? If His Spirit does live in you, here's your challenge. Are you living filled by His Spirit? Is your heart overwhelmed with praise for the one who saved you? Are you continuing to look to His Word for light and guidance? Are you seeking opportunities to share His goodness with others? And are you looking with eager anticipation to His return when we shall be made like Him? If any of these areas prove troublesome for you, and they definitely do for me, then let this song be a refreshing reminder to you that Christ doesn't just visit, He lives in us believers. Rest in that fact and allow the Spirit of God to guide you through every part of life. Ask for His help in the many ways that we fail, and just learn to enjoy relying on Him. Christ desires to live in us. He is the only rightful ruler of our hearts. God bless you, dear listener, as you consider the truths of His Word and use this song to meditate on them. As you go throughout this next week, I hope you will not only embrace Christ living in you, but that you will let His life, light, and love shine out of your heart to help others along the way. It can only be done in His power. Jesus, name above all names.